song this morning before we open our Bibles and give thanks for our moms as well. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you and never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend and you are my desire. No one else will do, cause nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of find a way to bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Sing that again. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my else will do, cause nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way to bring me back. Lights turned on. Okay, good morning. Tony just let me know we have a young family here that asked if we would pray for their daughter, and we'll pray for her at the end of the service. What's your daughter's name? Okay. Tony, who is it? Do I have the wrong person here? Jasmine, okay. At the end of the service, we'll pray for her, okay? All right. This is Mother's Day, and I've got a message geared for our mothers and for those of us who have mothers. Realize that some your mothers are on the other side of this life. Some who are here today, you're still in the home with your mom. And some here today have your moms in your home. And we're in that group. So this is a broad range of folks, but we're talking about mothers today. And there's just a very small little passage that we're going to kind of key in on, and we're going to actually look back to something from the Old Testament, maybe a story that is not as familiar, but really relates to Mother's Day. And we're going to talk about our mothers and also talk for mothers who are still growing kids up. The Bible's got a lot to say about mothers. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers, and Lord, for the mothers that have impacted our lives, and Lord, for those who are still in the process of growing children up, and some even here today, Lord, who are right at the beginning of this journey. We pray, Lord, that you would give strength and help to each one. We pray for moms who are right in the thick of it and who just need help for the work ahead of them. I pray, Lord, that you would bring encouragement and challenge, Lord, and also help us to appreciate our moms if they're here or if they're on the other side of this life, Lord. Please just speak through your word today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We just finished a study of the book of Hebrews, and it took a couple months, a little over 2 months, maybe almost 3 months. We're going to be looking into the book of Romans, but we're not going to start in chapter 1. We're actually going to start in chapter 16. Just going to preface a few things before we get started about the book of Romans. We're not going to actually launch into a study of the book of Romans. We've got a few other things in mind for the weeks and months ahead. But if you're familiar with the New Testament book of Romans, Paul lays out the facts of the gospel, that humanity, its lost condition. Also, Paul lays out the availability of salvation by grace, that is unearned, undeserved favor from God through faith, and that is trusting and taking God at his word. And in Christ and his finished work, we stand not guilty before God. And Paul, in this book of Romans, encourages believers to regard themselves as free from the power of sin. And it also encourages believers to recognize that they are free to become like Christ, using their gifts to serve and to love others in their lives. And then in the last chapter, and that was a real quick summary, the book of Romans is probably one of the most detailed books about God's dealings with mankind. And it is very, very, it just, like much like Hebrews, weaves in a lot of God's dealings with his people, a lot of history. There's a whole lot to it, but we're not talking about that today. We want to go to the last chapter, Romans chapter 16, and about halfway through is a verse, and verse 13. I'm going to read it here, but before I read it, I'm going to tell you that in the last chapter, Paul lays out this very detailed treatise on salvation, on right standing with God, and what God has done. And then he sums it up, and he mentions about 30-plus people. He does a greeting, a salutation. He's writing this letter to the believers in Rome. He hadn't been there yet. He's going to be going there. But he writes this letter, and he lays out a whole lot of God's truth. And then he says, greet all these people. It's interesting in this last chapter that over 30-plus people, I think 32, 33, not all are named, he sends greetings to, and one-third of them that he mentions are women, and revealing the important role that women played in the early church. Now, if you had your ears open and listened, you realize this morning through the testimony time the impact of women in the church. I'll tell you, a whole lot in the church wouldn't get done if it wasn't for believers who were women. Amen? Paul often gets criticized as being anti-woman. I think more so, Paul is pro God's design, God's order. And that's where you get a lot of folks who raise a critique about Paul. But if you are listening and you pay attention here, Paul recognizes the role, the important role that women play in the service of the gospel. In fact, this letter, the first person he mentions is a lady by the name of Phoebe, who is a very successful business person in Cenchrea. It was a community outside of Corinth. And it's thought that she brought this letter to the believers in Rome. But I want to get to verse 13 here. He says this, he writes, "Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me." Paul recognized one woman specifically here, and he said, "She has been a mother to me." Now, that raises some interesting questions. Was this the mother of Rufus and Alexander? I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 15, and Eddie will bring that verse up, because there is a Rufus mentioned in the New Testament here, outside of the one that Paul was writing to. And we read here in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, this is when Jesus was being led away to be crucified. And it says this in verse 21, "A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene." Cyrene was a city in North Africa. There were pockets of believers, Jewish people, all over the known world at that time, that region. And so many would come at certain times of the year for Passover, for the other festivals that they were coming to recognize God's role in their lives. And he was there. And let's read on here. It says, "He was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus." So we read there about a Rufus. Now, some other interesting questions. When and where did Paul meet Rufus and his mother? Where did he meet them in his journeys? Did he stay in their home during his missionary travels? Did this lady, this person that he identified as being a mother to him, treating him as if she was his own mother, did she nurse him through some serious illness? We don't know, but what we do know is that he referred to her fondly as being like his mother. That's what he said. He gave her this lasting salutation, this greeting, that she was like a mother to me. And each year here at Family Worship Center, we recognize and salute mothers. Now, some think that it is just overly sentimental and it's just foolishness. Truthfully, it is sentimental because many of us, not necessarily all, but many of us have wonderful memories of our mothers. And so it's important to us, and so we realize the value of it. I want to read this for you, because for some, Mother's Day is not all that pleasant. In fact, it brings up painful memories. There are some that wanted to be a mother, but for some reason couldn't. And there are some who didn't have the best mother in the world. Some have had a mother who has died and is no longer in their lives. Some mothers have lost a child to death. We think of Mrs. Grissom here, just in the last year, what she has lost. Some mothers feel the pain of having a wayward child this morning, of a child that has been taught, grew up, to know about the things of God, but have just wandered off. And that's painful for some mothers. And there are some mothers that are doing it alone as a single mother. And we applaud the fact that you are hanging in there for your children. You are trying to raise them up the best you can. And so we recognize that. But it's important that we recognize mothers because of the role that they play, because of what they do and the impact in their lives. And that's what we're going to talk about some this morning. Sadly, there are some women who abandon, abuse, and neglect their children. But I believe that those are the exception. And you know, you hear about them on the news. It's interesting, the news media doesn't turn their camera on the mom who's slugging it out day after day, does it? You never hear about them. And yet there's so many more of them. By the way, that's how to get your attention on their TV set so they can sell you commercials and ad time and almost anything you can think of. So most mothers do the right thing and deserve the recognition and the gratitude that should be coming their way. This morning, we want to join Paul and salute all of our mothers who are with us, and we are thankful. You know, a mother's ministering love and self-giving sacrifice for her children, it's beyond anybody's ability to reward. I mean, how do you reward that? There's just no way. They cared for us when we were helpless. Our daughter Ashley sent a picture to Deb and to my phone yesterday evening, and she had taken her little 9-month-year-old, is he 9 months, Deb? About 9 months, and laid him out in the yard, and he's just sprawled. She said he didn't move for 10 minutes, didn't move a muscle. And it made me think of just how helpless little ones really are, you know, and how much they need a mother's care. Our mothers waited over us like guardian angels, and they loved us at times when nobody else would love us. You know that's the truth, don't you? There are times nobody else would want a thing to do with us, but who's there? Our mothers love us. I found this. I'm going to read it for you. I don't know who wrote it, but I think it's worth repeating. There is nowhere in all creation such an image of unselfish love as that of a woman for her child. She almost gives her life for the infant's existence. And all through his helpless years, she watches over him with untiring care. When he goes forth into the world, she follows him with unfailing interest. He may forget her, she will never forget him. If he does well, her joy is unbounded. If he does poorly, her heart is broken. Without a thought, she spends her life on her child. I thought that said it so well. The concern and care of a mother for her children. So a few thoughts this morning. Here's the first one. Mothers should be honored for their persistent love. Mothers should be honored for their persistent love. Something I've noticed in almost 40 years of ministry, I've been in a lot of hospital waiting rooms over 40 years. And sad to say, I've been in a lot of waiting areas at the courthouse as well. Where young people have gotten into trouble with the law. And here's something I've noticed through the years. It's just a generalized statement. It's not specific to everybody, but here it is. Fathers seem to wear out a whole lot quicker than mothers when it comes to with their children. Fathers get impatient and get out of there. Mothers just seem to stick it out. I've seen it with my own eyes, seen it over and over again. Doesn't mean fathers aren't there, don't show up. I'm just telling you, mothers just seem to hang in there. I cannot tell you how many times in a courtroom setting, dad has just given up. But you know who's still there? I've seen it. Mom is still there. And what an important thing of that persistence of love. I want to take a look at an Old Testament passage. I was not real familiar. I've read it through the years, but I'm sure I just blazed on through it. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Are you familiar with the name Rizpah? Anybody here know the name Rizpah? It's not a real well-known name to most of us. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the story. When the people of God were to make their entrance into the land God had promised them, they had a great victory, and some surrounding tribal people thought, we're not going to beat these Israelites. God is for them. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to load up some old-looking luggage. We're going to take some old stale bread, and we're going to throw some dust on ourselves, and we're going to show up and say, we just got here. We live a long ways off, and we've heard about what God has done in bringing you out of Egypt and what he did at Ai and Jericho. And so we're going to ask for you to make a treaty with us that you're not going to cause it. We live a long ways off. It was a lie. They deceived them. They were called the Gibeonites. And so Joshua mistakenly found out later, signed a peace treaty with them, and then only to find out that they only lived 3 days away. Now, Joshua had made an oath with them and made an oath to say, we will not destroy you. That was what their orders were, to go in and take the land. Take the land and do not make any peace treaty with any surrounding tribes. And that's why the Gibeonites said, we're from a long ways off. You don't have to worry. We're from way off. Well, they found out about it, and Joshua did not destroy those people. They happened to live under a treaty where they carried their water. You ever heard the term carry water for somebody? That's what they did. They carried water and they brought the wood. They were basically in a vassal state to God's people there. Well, years and years later, another self-willed king came on the scene by the name of Saul. And Saul evidently wanted to prove that he could get the job done. And he remembered this deception that the Gibeonites pulled on their people. He slaughtered them, removed them from the land. And it went on for a while. Then David became king, and the land went into an extended famine. If they had a famine for a year where they didn't have corn, they would typically recover in a year or two. But a three-year famine got things serious. So King David sought of the Lord, why is it like this? What's going on? And God revealed to him, look, you have something that happened that was unjust, and judgment's coming. And so the people of Gibeon came to King David and said, we've got to settle this. Money's not going to deal with it because it's a blood issue. And so King David surrendered seven of Saul's family. Saul had many wives. One of them was named Rizpah. She and Saul had two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth. And so King David gave them over to the Gibeonites, and they hung them, okay? Years later, this is years and years later, judgment had come. Those who participated and benefited with Saul were hung. Two of those seven were the sons of Rizpah. Now, we're going to pick up the story in chapter 21 and verse 8. Let me read verse 8 here. But he gave them Saul's two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth, whose mother was Rizpah, daughter of Ai. He also gave them the five sons of Saul, Saul's daughter Merab, wife of Adriel, son of Barzillai from Meholah. The men of Gibeon executed them on the mountain before the Lord. So all seven of them died together at the beginning of the barley harvest. It's important that you make note of that, the beginning of the barley harvest. Verse 10, then Rizpah, daughter of Ai, the mother of the two of the men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at their bodies during the day and stopped wild animals from eating them at night. I'll stop reading there just a second. But what this tells us, it's a gruesome scene. A mother who sets up vigil as her two sons have been hung, and they remain hanging there, and she's there to protect their bodies from the vultures in the day and the jackals by night. The mother of these two men spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. In the notes in my Bible, it says this, that the barley harvest season would start in April and go to October. That's about 6 months that she stayed out there and watched over the bodies of her two sons. Let's read in verses 11 through 14 because the story goes on. Verse 11, when David learned that Rizpah, Saul's concubine, what she had done, he went to the people of Jabesh Gilead and retrieved the bones of Saul and his sons Jonathan. When the Philistines had killed Saul and Jonathan on Mount Gilboa, the people of Jabesh Gilead stole their bodies from the public square of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hung them. So David obtained the bones of Saul and Jonathan, as well as the bones of the men the Gibeonites had executed. Then the king ordered that they bury the bones in the tomb of Kish, Saul's father, at the town of Zelah in the land of Benjamin. After that, God ended the famine in the land. You know what happened here? David got word of what this mother had done. And it seems that he was moved with compassion to gather their bodies along with Saul and his son Jonathan and to give them a proper burial because of a mother's persistent love for her child. You know, I found this poem, and it really spoke to my heart. It's by Rudyard Kipling. Never heard it before. I'm going to read it for you. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but you'll get the point of it. It's called Mother of Mine. Anybody ever heard of that poem by Rudyard Kipling, Mother of Mine? Here's what it says. If I was hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were condemned in body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole. Mother of mine, mother of mine. And so we recognize and we honor our mothers for their persistent love. I've got to read something to you. I've read it before. But when I read it, it wrecks me every time. It goes back to World War II and the Holocaust that took over 6 million lives. And this is a story of the family of Solomon Rosenberg and particularly his wife. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons, his mother and his father, were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp and the rules were simple. As long as you do your work, you're permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, you are exterminated. And that's what happened. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David." And she took his hand and went with him. And, it speaks of a mother's enduring love and the persistence of a mother's love. And we're reminded of that today. But secondly, mothers should be honored for the impact that they've had on our lives. I have a great amount of respect for Abraham Lincoln, who was at the helm of a very, very difficult part of our nation's history. And when he writes things, it's worth paying attention to what he has to say. Here's what he told his law partner about his mother. "The greatest lessons I have ever learned were at my mother's knees. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And I was reading about this. There was some debate or discussion as to whether this is his birth mother or whether this was his stepmother who his father married. His birth mother died when he was 9 years of age. And his stepmother was married to his father just a year later when he was 10. It's thought that he directed this to, because he spoke of his mother who raised him as his angel mother. But I found two more things I want to read for you as well. People that you would be familiar with. Winston Churchill, who also was at the helm of a people at a very difficult time in World War II. And there are some here who know the impact that, as imperfect as he was, same with Abraham Lincoln, you can find fault with any of these leaders, but these are folks who were in the crucible, who were in the fire, And here's what he said. A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all those who had been Churchill's teachers. And Churchill returned the list with this comment written on it: "You have omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers, dash, my mother." And also, Thomas Edison wrote this: I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never have likely become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. And I know that many here today, in years past, we've taken a part of the service to fully let people share their testimonies and their thankfulness for their mothers. And we may do that again on another Mother's Day, but doesn't mean you don't feel them in your heart and you don't appreciate the impact they've had on your life. Now, from this passage we read today, Romans 16, verse 13, the Apostle Paul recognized and honored this lady, this specific lady, for the impact she had on him. He said, she's been a mother to me. And you know, on our part here today, there should be a deep sense of gratitude that should not only be felt, but also expressed for her time, given day or night, for our mother's example, not perfect, but consistent and dependable, for her support, always for our best. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Every Sunday morning before I come to church, I go into my mom's room and she looks me over. I'm almost 65 years of age, and Mom checks me out, and she said, you can go. Sometimes she'll say, you need to tuck that shirt in, Bruce. And I gladly listen. And, I just know that it's for my best. And we can say that. And, you know, for our mother's sacrifices, numerous and so quickly forgotten. Somebody has said there are very few groups of people who give as much and as often and receive so little in return. That's why we today want to recognize and honor them for the impact they've had on our lives. We say, as I said, there's going to be broad ranging, not just for mothers who are aged, but also mothers who are still in the process of growing children up. And one thing I'm finding out is that no matter how old your kids get, you're still their parent. I remember years ago, Miss Wall and I had a conversation, and it was when our kids were getting to be young adults. I'll never forget what she said. I said, Miss Wall, I'm learning about growing up children. She said to me, son, you're going to keep on learning. And that's the truth. We continue to learn. But I want to speak now. You know, your children may be grown, but this is not something to overlook. And that is making a spiritual impact on your children, no matter what age. You may think it's past. They're no longer in the home. They got kids of their own. But here's what we'd like to consider this morning, and that is this: if you want to instill authentic faith in your children, you and I, all of us, we better take our own faith seriously and not just go through the motions of just going to church. Because as you demonstrate your faith consistently by trusting God, by applying His truths to your life, and by fulfilling His purposes, you're sending a strong message to your children. You may be saying, it's too late. I've done too much damage. Not at all. You just show up, honor God, love Him, try to do His will, and it's going to have something to say to your children, all right? Better late than never. Wouldn't you agree? Better late than never. And there's a saying you hear around here a whole lot. I'm just going to throw it out one more time. More is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. You know, we can talk till we're blue in the face, but what our children see us doing is what really registers, I think. At least it does for me, and I think that probably applies. Now, what should we do when mom speaks into our lives, okay? What do we do when mom speaks into our lives? First of all, receive it with a humble and respectful heart. Receive it with a humble, respectful heart. You know, one thing about it, when you became an adult, you became answerable to God on your own, okay? And so you are independent before God. Now, it doesn't mean that we should be disrespectful. It doesn't mean that we should just cast it aside, because it's important that we give it a long and serious consideration. Remember, our moms know us pretty well. Every Mother's Day, I repeat this statement that I heard someone say, there's no one who can humble you like your mom. And so our moms know us pretty well. And you know, that's why when our moms tell us something about ourselves and speak some truth into our lives, that's why it stings, doesn't it? Because usually it's hitting close to home, because our moms truly know us. So receive it with a humble and respectful heart. Give it long and serious consideration. And here's the most important part of that and formulation is this: determined by the grace of God to walk the right path. Just determined to honor God. Her love and care and consideration doesn't deserve to be just tossed aside. All right, so it brings us to this point, and this is what we're going to wrap things up with this morning. How can we honor our moms? Now, the Ten Commandments that God gave to his people that were to be the kind of the foundation governing his people, one of them said this, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord is giving you. And do you know it's repeated again in the New Testament? Paul repeats it in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So how can we honor our mothers? This is Mother's Day, and that's what we're talking about. How can we honor our mothers? First of all, by letting her know that we appreciate all that she has done. A sincere thank you means a lot. To sincerely thank our mothers for what they've done. If your mom is on the other side of this life, you can thank God for, and I'm sure he'll pass the message along to her. She'll know. You know, Proverbs 31 says this, and just about every Mother's Day, somehow Proverbs 31 gets roped into being a part of every preacher's message on Mother's Day. It talks a lot about a mother's advice to her son. Worth reading. And also, she tells her son what to look for in a woman. It's great advice. But here's what it says in verse 28. I'm going to read it here for you. Proverbs 31, 28. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. And then look at verse 31 of Proverbs 31. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Reward her for all she has done. You know, I can't help but just speak to our young people this morning. We live in a time of real disrespect for authorities that are in our lives. And I would speak to any young person who claims to follow Christ and who wants to honor God, is that you would recognize to be disrespectful and to show disrespect to your mother who's done so much for you is a grave and serious error. And the scripture's plain about that, to be respectful and to honor our mothers. How else can we honor our mothers? Here's another thing. Secondly is this, to remember what they've taught you. Go to the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 20 and 21 of Proverbs 6. Here's what it says. My son, obey your father's commandments and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Let's read verse 21 as well. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. So you want to honor your mom? Remember what she taught you. Remember what she taught you. Three, how can we honor our moms? Live for God. Make her heart glad. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Read verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 23. You want to honor your mom? Make her heart glad. Live for God. Let me read here these verses, chapter 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. You want to honor your mom? Do what God says. Live a kind of life that you know that she would be pleased. That's how we can honor our moms. And then how can we honor our moms? Treat her right. Treat her right. We're also in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19, verse 26. Children who mistreat their father or chase away their mother are an embarrassment and a public disgrace. Boy, that sure lays it down, doesn't it? And so, how can we honor our moms? To treat them right. And a part of that is taking care of them when they're old. Taking care. Look at, there's pretty clear as well. Take a look at Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. There's some specific instruction in the book of 1 Timothy, and we're going to turn there. I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul is writing to a young pastor, and as that young pastor is leading a group of God's people, and he gives some instruction for how people are to treat one another in the church. And it makes reference to how we treat loved ones in the home. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. How we can honor our moms by taking care of her when she is old. It says this, never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would your own father. Talk to younger men as you would your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. Take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home. And look at this phrase, and to repay their parents by what? Help me out. By taking care of them. This is something that pleases God, taking care of our mothers when they get old. Now, it's not all going to look the same. And I'm not going to try to stand up here and prescribe what it's going to ought to look like for you. That's not my business. You and I know, and it should be pretty clear, what we should do in taking care of our mothers. How it all works out, every family's different. And we just try to do the best we can, don't we? And we fail at it, don't we? But we got to keep going forward. I want to show you how serious God is about this. Look in verse 8. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. So that's serious business with God. Not taking care of our family responsibilities. Now, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you're obligated to take care of somebody who won't lift a finger to take care of themselves, all right? But what we read here is that when our mothers get older and they need the care of their own family, that she should not just be pushed out for whoever is out there to care for. You know who should be showing up to care? The very people that she loved and grew up and raised. And that's important. That's there for us. So how can we honor our mothers? Letting them know that we appreciate all that they have done. Remember what they have taught us. Make their heart glad. Live for God. And then treat her right. Today, above all else, what we appeal to is this. To recognize her worth. To recognize the worth of your mother. And if you're able to consider, to appreciate, and express just how much your mother has meant or does mean to you. As the book of Proverbs says, the wise writer, she is more precious than rubies. Reward her for all she has done. Amen? And so today we're thankful for our mothers, young and older. Some who've, their job is done here. And for some, it's a memory. For some, sadly, you maybe not have had the mother that you wished you'd had. But hopefully, you learned a lesson and said, I'm going to, by God's grace, be a mother to my children, even if I didn't have that kind of mom. I want to ask it today, let's all stand. We're going to close in a time of prayer. We're going to pray for this young lady as well in this prayer. Yasmin, we won't. I'll just pray from here. But I'd like to, as we bow our heads to pray, I'd like to ask you to think back and to consider and thank God if you had a mother that showed up, who loved you, who cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself, who cared for you when nobody else would bother caring for you, and who followed you with great interest all the days of her life as long as she was able. If you have a mother like that, you've got a lot to be thankful for. And if you're able to, let her know just how much she means to you. Young people who are still in the home and your mother's still there in your life, certainly honor and respect the mom that you have. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, even for this example of a tragic situation of a mother who showed up and protected even the bodies of her two sons. Lord, we see the love that mothers have for their children. And Lord, help us to be grateful for that, to honor that, and to do our part, to do what we should for our mothers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Eddie's going to play a song of invitation.